Let's begin. I'd like to welcome you all to Sharing the Joy. This is the conference call for the general public, and my name is Debbie Rosas with the NEA Technique, and I will be your host today. And our subject is on conscious personal training, which is a movement practice that we shared with the general public in our book. If you will please mute your calls by hitting star 6, and that will mute your call. Then when we get ready to take personal calls, you can just unmute by hitting star 6 again. And this call is recorded, and it will be posted on the NEA website, so you'll be able to listen again if you'd like to. And tonight, again, I'm going to be talking about conscious personal training. And this is a way for you to not only self-heal in the process of moving, but also it's a way for you to become your own teacher and your own guide. This practice was developed when Carlos and I were writing the book, and we looked at the fact that when you work from a book, the language alone is only one part of the piece. And without the aid of a teacher, we were looking for a way to give the reader the same kind of benefit that they get from working with a teacher. And that is that the teacher looks and the teacher can watch and the teacher can consciously and personally train the student using their eyes and their wisdom. So we thought, what could we do that would make it possible for a student to actually consciously, personally train themselves? And we came up with a very easy three-step process that's not only very helpful for with working with the moves in the book and the workout in the book, but it's also a wonderful lifestyle practice in general. And so let me break down the first three parts that make up the process of conscious personal training. The first part is learn, and in this case, we talk about NEA. We're talking about learning a move or learning a particular technique. And in this first stage where you're learning, you want to give yourself the time, the space, and the freedom to talk to yourself. If working with the book, it might include reading from the book and reading words out loud, such as if I'm working with page 142 on blocks, when I'm learning the move, I would hold the book in my hand and I would read out loud. There are four blocks, upward, downward, inward, and outward. Practice all of them in writing stance. And then I would get into writing stance because I'm learning the move. I would look at the details on the photograph that say elbows drawn back, palms up, palm away, forearm pulls up to protect the forehead. And I would use what I'm reading to learn how to do the basics of the move. So learning is when you get to start and stop and talk to yourself. It's when you're using your mind and your thinking, but in a very mechanical on-off kind of way. Then the next part of conscious personal training is move. And what we mean by move is once you've learned the mechanics of anything, you want to move and integrate the whole body in the process of moving. So, for example, with the blocks, once I have followed the directions and I've learned the movement of standing in sumo stance, and drawing my elbows with my palms up, back, my forearms at the sides of my body, and slowly bringing one forearm up and then the other forearm up, alternating. As I would practice this, I would continue, and at some point I would say, I think I've got the basic moves. Now I'm going to move the move. And that means that you are rhythmically coordinating your entire body. That means that you feel your lower body and upper body working together, and so that there is more of a flow we're in the first stage of conscious personal training, the learn. There really isn't a flow. It's the stopping and the starting and the on-off. So you've learned the move, and then you've moved the move. The third part of conscious personal training is to energize. And to energize can mean energizing the move with any one of the nine movement forms. It can also mean energizing the move with your voice, making sound, or energizing the move with an emotion. What's important to recognize in energizing the move is that you are running a very unique kind of energy through the form or the structure of the movement. This means that if I do upper blocks with the energy of Tai Chi or the emotion of compassion, I'm going to get a very different neurological and physiological response. My body, my mind, my emotions, my muscles, my spirit will all engage in a very unique way, and the benefits will be unique. I can take that same experience, and I can consciously, personally train myself by energizing the movement with Taekwondo, a more forceful energy. And the same movement will deliver very different results to the body, to the mind, emotions, and spirit. So what's important to know about conscious personal training is that you are using your conscious mind to achieve learning the mechanics. You are using your conscious mind to move and integrate all parts of the body. And that means the body, the mind, the emotions, and spirit, as well as the upper and lower body. And you consciously choose an energy, something that is going to bring a unique, dynamic life to the movement. You choose it and add it into your movement experience. Over a period of time, you'll notice that using this three-step process of learn, move, and energize, that you begin to, in your everyday life, take this concept into your lifestyle. So what does this mean? It means that I can learn, move, and energize my thoughts. I can use this learn, move, and energize to be in relationship. So that the Nia principle and the Nia concepts are not something that are isolated just to the exercise floor, but they're also something you can bring into your life. One of the greatest tools to use when it comes to energizing, learning, moving, and energizing, would be to bring in the five sensations. Those sensations are unique. They each have their own voice, and they can each be felt in the body as something different. That means that you're going to keep your sensory IQ activated, and you're going to be feeding your sensory body with the food that it needs, and that is a variety of kinds of sensations so that you keep not only your physical body fit, but you also are helping to keep your nervous system very fit. Flexibility is one sensation, and you can consciously and personally train yourself to do an entire Nia routine by sensing energy moving out, energy moving along the bone, or agility, doing an entire routine or a single movement with starting and stopping energy, or the sensation of mobility, where energy is in constant motion. This is a sensation that you would feel if you were going out for a long walk and continuing to move until you stopped at the corner. That would be mobility. Strength is the sensation of energy packing in or hugging the bone or squeezing. You feel this sensation when you go to open the car door and you pull and the muscles grab and hug. you feel this sensation when you pick up a child and you feel the muscles supporting you in this activity by squeezing and hugging the bone, an inward sensation. It's not always a shortening and closing in. Oftentimes it's a reaching out where an arm is lengthened and you still feel the sensation of energy moving in and packing in against the bone. Besides these five sensations to energize the move, you can consciously, personally train yourself to use your voice. One of the simplest ways is to use the word yes or no in any forceful movement. A thrust, a strike, a kick, a punch, or merely just throwing your arms up into the air with the feeling of exhilaration. Using the yes and no and using the voice involves the emotions. And when the emotions are involved, your body is getting exactly what it personally needs. Conscious personal training. Think about the word personal. Personal means you're addressing what you need. Personal means that you pay attention to what your body's way is telling you it needs. Does it need to slow down or move a little bit more fully? And training. Training means that you pay attention to what you're doing, to the details, such as using your fingers and hands to engage the upper body with the lower body, and using the fingers and hands to express the movements so that what you feel inside is being expressed outwardly. How you affect the outcome of a movement by including conscious personal training into your life and workout will come from conscious awareness. And that is your unbending intent to train your body so that you master what you're doing, so that you improve the function, you improve the form, and you slip into comfort. Comfort that we describe as physical pleasure, recognizing the sensation of pleasure. And comfort that we also recognize as dynamic ease. And dynamic ease means you feel fully alive, dynamic and expressive, and you also feel a sense of ease. As if you can continue to move, you recognize you're getting stronger, but you're not compromising any one part of your body. The beauty of conscious personal training is that it will teach you to internally self-guide your movement. And again, using the three-step learning process of learn the move the move, and energize the move, you can use your mind, you can use your verbal guidance, and you can use the movement of your whole body to improve how you do what you do. You are moving the body's way when you are consciously, personally training. This means you are learning to use your body with efficiency, the way it was designed, to be moved and used. It means that you're going to achieve balance, and it, most importantly, it means that you're going to respect not only the design and structure of the body's way, but you will also be respecting the design and structure of your body's way. Conscious personal training is how you will merge the body's way with your body's way. It is a tool that you can use for yourself, and it is a tool that you can use every time you dance Nia. Well, this is Debbie Rosas. I'd like to answer some questions, and I am available for any question. It doesn't have to be just on conscious personal training. I'd love to hear from you, hear how your Nia practice is going, and answer any question that you might have. So to ask a question, all you have to do is just hit star 6, and that will unmute you. This is Debbie Rosas. I know I must have one question out there or a comment.
Hi, Debbie. It's Natasha Linden from Kamloops, BC.
Hi, Natasha. Nice to have you on the call tonight.
Thank you. Great to be here. I have a question about what you mentioned about the example of using the fingers and hands to connect the upper and the lower body.
Yes.
I know when I do that, I can sense that that's happening. But can you explain how and why that happens kind of anatomically or?
Well, basically our feet are always in contact with something that is more physical. They touch, so we walk, and the feet feel the earth below. When you were crawling before you stood up, the part of your body that was touching, that gave your upper body an awareness of where it was in space, were your hands. As an infant, the hands are a very important part of our survival and our connection to the world around us. Through touch, we learn about the world, and this is how we explore, by using our hands. Once we become an upright being, we're no longer crawling, and we're less tactile with our hands. The danger is in living your body 95% of the time through your mind without touching, without tactile touch. And when this happens, the body, in a sense, can become imbalance between the top and the bottom. And the coordination of the upper body and lower body is very critical for relaxation and also for alignment. So one way to engage the upper body and lower body is that as you take a step, you feel your hands touching as if they were touching something that they could actually feel, such as water, standing in the pool and moving the water with your hands. There's an integration of your lower body. You're touching the bottom of the pool, and your hands are touching and moving the water. If you do that right now, imagine you're standing in the bottom of the pool and start to move imaginary water with your hands, you can begin to feel that integration of upper body and lower body. Dancing is no different. If you can do your stepping motions or your stance motions and integrate your hands, you will feel more movement being supported from the core of your body, and you will connect the upper body and the lower body. So your feet connect you to the earth and the lower body, and your hands connect you more to the imaginary space through the hands.
Thank you very much. That really helped.
Good. You're welcome.
Imagine it.
Thank you. This is Debbie Rosas. Love to take another question. Comment. I'm here to help you. It can be a personal question about your body or about your movement.
Debbie?
Yes.
This is Ann Coretti in Alabama.
Hi, Ann. Nice to have you tonight.
Thank you. I've been working on learning to control my blood pressure for several years, and I just wondered if you could give me some input as to how I could continue working on that. It's better, but I'm on medication, and I would like to be able to come off of it.
Well, certainly I know that physicians have talked to you about diet and the importance of diet in controlling blood pressure. And also keep in mind that there's always that genetic factor as well. You can be doing everything imaginable under the sun, and you can have high blood pressure if it runs in your family. So I guess I would say don't take it personal. And then the other thing about high blood pressure is to remember that what you want to do is have energy continually moving through your body. You don't want to contain it. So I would ask you to do the energy personality test in the book and find out, are you more Tai Chi kind of person? Are you more of a Taekwondo kind of a person? And ideally what you want to do is to be able to use all of those energies so that you can live in a world that they call homeostasis, and that is where your body is basically in a state of peace or harmony. So that's a big word. What does that mean? It basically means that you can adapt to the stressful situations in your life, and you can come to a place of center fairly quickly. Now, breathing is deep breathing and nice long deep breaths is very, very important for pressure in the body. And so the more you exhale, longer exhales, and even using the vowel sounds like A, E, I, doing that, you know, for 60 seconds every hour just to get nice long exhales out, that's one way to bring your body into a state of relaxation. The other thing that's important is not to contain forceful movements for an extended period of time, but to really work more with in-out movement or flow movement rather than a lot of strength exercises, if that makes sense. So fluidity would be what I would encourage you to do. And definitely getting in a minimum of 3 times a week of nonstop movement for a minimum of 15 to 20 minutes where you feel like you can dance and move around the room easily and you're breathing more deeply, but you're not gasping and you're not trapped. This would be important. The other thing is water intake, really making sure that you're getting enough water, particularly when you take medication. It has a tendency to dehydrate the body, and that also puts a stress. So water is a very, very important key. And, you know, most importantly, learn to perceive life as art so that, you know, blood pressure, high blood pressure is often accompanied by the sensation of I feel stressed. My life, I don't have enough time. I have lots and lots of responsibilities. And if you can slow your thinking down and if you can begin to look at the world around you, even the dishes in the sink, as you know what? Those are interesting shadows that they're casting. You'll begin to shift things that may have triggered stress and turn them into really seeing and perceiving life as something that is magical and more artful.
Well, thank you very much.
That You're welcome. Nice. You're welcome. Well, this is Debbie Rosas, and I've got time for a couple more questions. I'd love to answer questions.
Hi, Debbie.
Yes.
Hi, this is Aline in Albuquerque.
Hi, Aline.
Hi. I wasn't sure how to work the mute thing, but I guess I got it.
You got it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am struggling with a bunch of unstable joints in my pelvis and legs.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Sure. I'm struggling with unstable joints in my pelvis and legs. And
okay.
I'm a belly dancer. I have a lot of core strength built up, and I do have a lot of strength around my hips. It doesn't seem to help with this problem in the least. And I was wondering if you've had students with this type of challenge and if you have any suggestions.
Yeah. Are you pregnant?
No.
Okay.
Haven't been pregnant for 20 years.
Okay. Have you always been hypermobile?
Apparently, I've always been somewhat hypermobile. It's only been a really huge problem in at least about the last 6 years, and in the pelvis, really only the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 47.
Well, certainly taking a look at hormones and making sure that, you know, nothing's out of sync with your hormones.
Yeah, done that.
And but when you are lacking stability, what you want to look at is the intrinsic muscles, the muscles closest to the bone. So,
mm-hmm.
So for instance, in your pelvis, if you stood up right now and you just kind of put your feet right under your hips,
mm-hmm.
and put your feet parallel. Now, without moving your feet, try to push your feet out and then pull them back in, push them out and pull them back in.
Okay.
And you're going to feel some movement. And that is those are the intrinsic muscles grabbing. And so this kind of static movement where you pull in, push out, pull in, push out, it can be very, very helpful for someone that's hypermobile.
That's an exercise I've never been given. Thank you.
And you can do it and imagine that you're cross-country skiing, but your feet aren't moving, the same kind of thing. Stability comes from sustaining. So it's if you work with balanced movements, that is going to also improve the stability of the little muscles that help support the pelvis. So if you practice balancing on one leg and then on the other leg and at the same time circle your pelvis, again, you're going to be using balance movements with very small range of motion, and that's what you want to do.
Okay.
Everything in a small range of motion. So if you're doing a movement with your legs, you want to do a small stepping movement and a small pelvic movement. So very tiny is what you're after to reclaim some of the stability that you may have lost.
Wow. Thanks.
Does that help?
Yes, actually, that's
okay.
That's
and the same thing, you know, you
it.
Want to look at your ankle joints and your knee joints and your hip joints. They all work together.
Yep.
And so all of the foot movements in the book are wonderful for ankle stability. They're just outstanding. So I would recommend you really go back and do those movements. And then remember that the knee is, while it is a large joint, it is meant to be free, like your elbow. So you don't want to lock your knees. What you want to do is use your feet and ankles, and then also feel the movement of your pelvis and your sacrum so that you keep working those muscles rather than using a locked knee to support yourself, which can sometimes become a real problem for people that have a lack of stability in their ankles or in their pelvis. They start locking the knees as a way to hold, and you don't want to do that.
Okay.
The
book you're talking about?
That's our NIA book. It's called The NIA Technique. You can get it through us, or you can get it on Amazon.com. And it gives you 52 moves, one move a week, and you will really reclaim a lot of strength and stability and flexibility and mobility, agility in your body.
I will do that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Got about 30 more seconds. This is our last question. This is Debbie Rose. This is the NIA Technique. All right. Well, I would like to thank you all on this holiday for joining me. And it's been a pleasure to share with you information about the NIA Technique. If you haven't already signed up for the NIA free online multimedia newsletter, please do so. You can do that by going to our website at www.nianow.com. And it's a wonderful way to stay in touch and receive some of the NIA education so that you can use it in your life and dance through life. Have a great night. This is Debbie Rose. Thank you very much.